want to read two scriptures, both quite familiar, I'm sure. Matthew 22, and Jesus answering spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of the heavens has become like a king who made a wedding feast for his son, and sent his bondmen to call the persons invited to the wedding feast, and they would not come. Again he sent other bondmen, saying, Say to the persons invited, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted beasts are killed, and all things ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they made light of it, and went, one to his own land, and another to his commerce. And the rest, laying hold of his bondmen, ill-treated and slew them. And when the king heard of it, he was wroth, and having sent his forces, destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he says to his bondmen, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the thoroughfares of the highways, and as many as you shall find, invite to the wedding feast.' And those bondmen went out into the highways and brought together all as many as they found, both evil and good, and the wedding feast was furnished with guests. And the king, having gone in to see the guests, beheld there a man not clothed with a wedding garment. And he says to him, 'My friend, how camest thou in here, not having on a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him feet and hands, and take him away, and cast him out into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth.'" And then in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and that's page 409 in this Bible, page 409, and verse 3, "And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan has yet a son who is lame on his feet. And the king said to him, Where is he? And Ziba said to the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he said, Behold thy servant. And David said to him, Fear not, for I will certainly show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And then we just read verse 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table." I want to say something about the suitability needed to be in God's presence. God desires all men to be saved. God desires to have you in his presence, but it needs to be on his terms. You can't just come to God anyhow. I read here of two men. One thought that he had a right to be in the king's presence. The other realized he had no right to be in God's presence. I'll start with the first one, Matthew 22. We know the story well, this parable. It speaks, of course, in the first extent to the Jews. The Lord Jesus, it says of him, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And then, as his own rejected him, the gospel went out to the Gentiles. And that's why we're preaching it here today, because it's gone out to you and me. But in another way, you can say that all have rejected the gospel. The invitation goes out. The gospel is an invitation, isn't it? We sang at the beginning, "By thee, O God, invited." It's important to note that, dear friends. It's not just the preacher, what he says. It's not coming to this church. It's not what the meeting says. It's God who is inviting you. God is inviting you to look at his son. Not look at the gathering here, and not look at a church, but his son. And tonight, dear friends, I would seek and desire that I might point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object and the subject of the glad tidings. And it's not me that's pointing it out, but I trust that I'm just a vessel, that God is inviting you to look to Jesus. So this king here, he made a wedding feast for his son. Most of them, it says, they made light of it. I think that's very serious, dear friend. How many times have you listened to the glad tidings? These here made light of the invitation. Dear friend, it's a very solemn and serious thing to make light of the greatest invitation that you will ever have. In other words, to have to do with Jesus. To listen to what God is saying. Says they made light of it. Things of commerce, things of business were more important. And we live in a world, don't we, where that is so true. That the everyday is far more important. And yet we've been reminded, haven't we, very much in the gospel recently, of it, that eternity is the most important problem that you have to face. Where will you indeed spend eternity? But they made light of it. And therefore, the gospel went out further. It says, go out into the thoroughways of the highways. Thank God the gospel has come to Taring Road. You know? And it's gone throughout the whole earth, hasn't it? Every nook and cranny, we might say, of the earth. There's hardly, and maybe a few, hardly any place on earth that hasn't heard the glad tidings. And therefore, there were those that came in. And it says, the wedding feast was furnished with guests. It's wonderful, isn't it, that the room was full. And yet, there's a sad end to this story. Because the king, you know, he went out to meet them. And I understand that, I'm not sure exactly, but the tradition, I think that they possibly were in those times given something to wear. In a Jewish wedding, they were supplied. If you were invited to the wedding, you were supplied with what is necessary. Dear friend, in the gospel, God has done everything. Jesus has died. The work has been done. All things are ready. Come. God has supplied you with what is necessary for you to be suitable in God's presence. So, all these guests, you can imagine the king coming in, seeing people dressed suitably for his presence. What he'd supplied, and people had taken it up. They replied to the invitation and they'd come in and they were suitably attired for the king's presence. But there was one there who thought he knew better. Didn't really want to have to comply. He thought his own dress was suitable. And you know, that's like many in the glad tidings, as the glad tidings is preached. They think that their own righteousness is better. So Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they realized they'd sinned. Well, what did they do? They clothed themselves with fig leaves. They thought, well, we're trying to appease God ourselves. And how many, maybe you, dear friend, tonight, are trying to appease God? You realize that you're a sinner, but you think, I can sort it out on my own. I can make it right with God myself. But that won't do. There is only one suitability for God's presence. And that is Christ and his righteousness. We sung, didn't we? returning sons he kisses, and with his robe invests. The only righteousness that will do for God is the righteousness of Christ. Tonight, dear friend, are you clothed in the righteousness of Christ, or are you still in the filthy rags of your own sinful flesh? That's as simple as that, dear friend. How are you clothed in God's sight? This man, he thought he knew better. And that's been the problem with man right up to this present day, hasn't it? He thinks he knows better. Cain thought he knew better than Abel. He said, I will produce for God something that I've done. Abel realized that in order to please God, it needed a sacrifice. He brought a lamb, didn't he? Dear friend, the only way back to God is through a sacrifice, because sin has to be paid for. And God is a holy God and a righteous God. He's a loving God and a gracious God and a merciful God too. But primarily, he's a holy and righteous God. And therefore, sin needs to be paid for. Abel understood that. It's interesting, it says, you read the account, God looked upon Cain and his sacrifice and his offering, and he looked upon Abel and his offering. God looked upon them. And it wasn't exactly the offering, but he looked into the heart, didn't he? He saw what prompted Abel, and he saw what prompted Cain. And he realized that Cain was proud, wasn't he? He thought, I can please God on my own basis. You know, pride. It's the root of all sin, really. You know, Satan fell. He said, I will be as God. And that disease has covered the whole of mankind. This man in Matthew 22, in one sense you could say he was proud, wasn't he? I can come into God's presence on my own terms. I don't need what you provided. But he stuck out like a sore thumb, didn't he? And God, you know, takes account of you. Like he took account of Cain and Abel. He looked upon them. He could see right through. I can only see the exterior tonight, but God can see into the heart, dear friend. What are you going to do with this? Are you going to accept what God has provided? That's the wonder of the gospel, that God wants you in his presence, but there is a requirement that you should be suitably attired. But God has provided that. In here, the king provided the wedding garment. Tonight, that you might be right with God, that God himself provided the righteousness of Christ, if you only turn to him in repentance and in faith. It's very solemn at the end of this, isn't it, here, that he was speechless. You know, I've talked about men in their pride, and we see it right now happening in the world, don't we? Men are arrogant, aren't they? Of what they can do or what they think. Nothing matters. I do what I want. Here, this man was speechless. And you know there's coming a day when every man will have to face God. And those that have rejected his offer of grace, those that have not had to do with his son, they'll be speechless. Nothing to say. They've rejected the Saviour. Dear friend, tonight, don't reject the Saviour. By thee, O God, invited, we look unto the Son. Are you going to look to Jesus tonight? Are you going to have to do with him? God wants to give you his righteousness. He says, I don't look at all your filthy rags. You know, our righteousness, it says in the scriptures, are as filthy rags. People think that they're doing okay. You can be very religious and yet full of sin. Dear friend, tonight, God is not offering you just to make things slightly better, but he's giving you completely different hope. He's offering you the righteousness of that man that pleases him entirely. It says in the scriptures that him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness. How wonderful that is. He takes all my sin, all my filth, all my natural propensities, everything that I am, which is ugly and hateful to God, and in its place, he gives me the righteousness of Christ. And God looks at me and you as if he looks at his only beloved Son. How wonderful that is, you know. That's the offer and the glad tidings. That's the invitation. Please, tonight, don't be like this man here who rejected what God had offered. His end was very sad. He went away, cast into the outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. You know, that's a very real place, dear friend. Hell is a very real place. But we're not preaching hell. We're preaching that you may be saved from it, that you might be able to come into what God is desiring for you to come into. And that's a place of joy and blessing, to be at home with the King. How wonderful that is. You can be at home with the King. And that's why I read in Samuel chapter 2 Samuel 9. What a difference in this man, you know. He really didn't have much of a claim at all, did he? He was an enemy of David. And we're enemies too of God, aren't we? In your sin and in your arrogance and pride, you're an enemy of God. The scripture says that. But God is so wanting you to come into his presence. You know, he's a God of grace and a God of mercy. This is a wonderful demonstration. The first one, of course, was a parable that I read, but this is actual history. And this is just a picture of what God is like. Dear friend, you know, you ask people in the world, people have got very funny ideas of what God is like, if they believe in him at all. But I can tell you from scripture, but also through grace, through experience, that God is a God of love and mercy and grace. And he wants to bless you. He wants to save you. This is the heart of God. Can you imagine this? David, how much he suffered at the hands of Saul, you know. David had been pursued, nearly killed by Saul. And yet what grace. He says, there's anyone left that I can show him mercy? Anyone left? Dear friend, God is towards you. Isn't that wonderful? In the glad tidings, we can say tonight, you might feel you've done wrong. You might feel that you're in a lost place. I suppose Mephibosheth here, he realized that his family had done wrong and he was in a bad place, you might say. And yet, here was one who says, I'll show you mercy. I'll show you grace. And that's the wonderful news of the gospel, that you might be in a bad place tonight. And yet God, in his wonderful grace, would show you mercy. He would show you grace. He'd want to bring you into his presence. And I just think it's so interesting, the place, the attitude that Mephibosheth took. He realized he had no place at all. Dear friend, you have no right to be in God's presence as a wicked, filthy sinner. He says here, doesn't he? What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Paul, you know, realized that, didn't he? He realized he was a sinner. Oh, wretched man that I am. We need to go through that journey before we can get blessing. You know, you'll never get blessing, you'll never get saved, unless you repent. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. He realized that he deserved nothing. And tonight, dear friends, the moment you realize that you deserve nothing and you are at God's complete mercy, then God can come out in grace and love towards you. Isn't it wonderful? This man who was lame, he was disowned probably by the general populace, he was the enemy in one sense, and yet he was picked up, wasn't he, by David's grace, and he was brought in to the most wonderful position. And dear friend, tonight, although you might be a sinner, you might be helpless, you might be hopeless, you might be in the worst place possible, the wonderful news of the glad tidings is that God is towards you, and he wants you not just to save you, but he wants to put you in the best place possible, at the king's table. He says, not only, it wasn't just for one day, was it? It wasn't a one-day trip. He was there every day. How wonderful this is, you know, that once you come as a believer into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single day you can have to do with Jesus. Every single day you can be in the presence of the King. I know it doesn't talk about his dress here, but it's just the impression that this man was taken from the dunghill and put among princes. And that's you and I, by God's grace, we can be taken from the dunghill and put amongst princes. Dear friend, he had the right attitude. And tonight, if you're going to get blessing, you need to come to God, God's way. Not Cain's way, not the man in Matthew 22 who thought he knew better. But if you want to be blessed tonight, you come God's way. God has provided the dress. He's provided the robe. You can't help thinking of Luke 15, can you? The younger son, you know, he had privileges. And if you've been born in a Christian household, dear friend, you have a wonderful privilege. But that doesn't save you. You need to come to God yourself. Repentance towards God. Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. But the younger man, he came to himself, didn't he? Repentance. He came to himself. And then he went back. He said, well, just let me in the back door. That wasn't good enough for the father, was it? He killed the fatted calf. The robe, the best robe. It wasn't just any robe. It was the best robe. You know, Christ. There's no better than Christ. Perfect sacrifice. Perfect righteousness. And God will give you the best robe tonight, so that you're suitable for the King's presence. You're suitable for the Father's house. The Mephibosheth, it said he did eat continually at the King's table. Dear friends, once you put your trust and faith in Christ, then you know you're safe for time and you're safe for eternity. We've got a hope for the future. And we live in a world where hope is virtually extinct, isn't it? No hope. And yet I can tell you that you can have wonderful hope, because we know a man who came into this world and died on a cross for our sins, rose again, is now in heaven. Jesus is not on the, as we were saying in the reading, he's not on the cross, he's not in the grave, he's in heaven. Real man, God's beloved son. That man that we sung of at the beginning, by thee, O God, invited, we look unto the Son. Where is the Son? He's there up in heaven, and he's coming soon. He's coming to reign on this earth. What a difference it will be. The King of Kings. But tonight you're invited to have to do with him. You're invited to look at him, and he will give you wonderful peace and joy in your heart, and you'll be clothed suitably for God's presence. How wonderful that is, you know. Nothing we've done, not works of righteousness which we have done. It's all of God's grace. Dear friend, tonight, are you suitably attired? Are you suitable for God's presence? If you feel that you're in your sins, if you feel lost and hopeless, there's no need to be in that position one second longer. You can trust Christ as your Saviour, and God will look upon you as he looks upon his only beloved son. The young man that came into the father's house, you know, the best robe was put on him, and he had many other blessings beside, didn't he? And tonight, as you put your trust in Christ, you'll not only be saved, but you'll have many other blessings beside. Dear friend, I would urge you to look upon Jesus. Have to do with God. Repent of your sins. Put your trust in Christ. And God will look upon you as he looks upon his only beloved son. What a wonderful position we have, you know. Dear friend, don't be like the man in Matthew 22. Take the position of Mephibosheth. Realize who you really are, and then realize what God has done that you might come into his presence and enjoy his favor and his blessing now and every day and forever. What a wonderful gospel this is. May you have to put your trust and faith in him tonight for his name's sake.
Amen.